Blossom Twitchell pulls back a curtain, revealing 10 feet of shelving.
We do have crackers and rice and noodles and chili.
Twitchell is a caseworker for Sika Tribe of Alaska's Social Services Department, and this is STA's pantry. It's open to all tribal citizens, regardless of income. At the start of the month, the pantry is freshly stocked with staple goods. 3 weeks into August, when this interview was recorded, the shelves are mostly bare. Here's Twitchell.
A lot of people are using their food money to pay utilities and rent and cost of living expenses. So we are seeing a spike in our numbers.
Food insecurity in Sika has deepened and also broadened. Jean Swanson, an outreach family caseworker, said she's seen tribal citizens come into her office seeking help who never did before.
We were seeing families that usually are self-sufficient that were coming in, and we were seeing them for the first time.
As a result, what used to last a month at STA's pantry now lasts a week and a half. And Twitchell thinks she knows why. In June 2017, the state closed Sika's public assistance office. That's where locals could walk in the door, apply for benefits, and have a technician on hand to help navigate the system. The closure was the result of attrition. It made financial sense to the state in an era of budget cuts. The Juneau office took over Sika's caseload and did what it could to keep up with demand, but eventually the backlog grew and grew and grew. Sikans were losing their food stamps, which are renewed every 6 months. And Twitchell says they were going hungry.
A lot of people would call the Juneau office and they would get a machine. And when you're in that moment of needing assistance and needing answers to what they needed to do to get back on, they weren't finding the answers.
Twitchell and other locals, like Susan Bryles at Search, began to submit complaints, as did other communities in Alaska experiencing their own delays. The state ombudsman investigated the Division of Public Assistance and found out that their backlog had ballooned to 20,000 applications. That report was released in May of this year. And in June, to the relief of many, the state reopened Sika's public assistance office. I visited the new space, now housed in the same building as Sika's trial court. Applications are still processed elsewhere, this time in Ketchikan, but the two local positions have been rehired. Southeast Regional Manager Vicki O'Brien says it will take a while to train new staff and get caught up on Sika's case backlog.
As of right now, we're just doing what we can with what we have and working as much as we can and encouraging our staff to work as quickly as possible, as accurately as possible, and to get as much done in a day as they can.
There have been other positive changes. The legislature approved funding for 20 new public assistance positions, and the department is working on a statewide delivery model that would allow technicians to process applications from anywhere in the state. As you can imagine, Twitchell is relieved.
It's not such a bottleneck now, but it definitely hit Sitka hard and it hit families hard.
STA wasn't the only pantry cleaned out. Sikans Against Family Violence has seen their stock dwindle. And Salvation Army has been hit especially hard. They are the biggest pantry in Sika, cycling through 10,000 pounds of food a month. About three quarters of local donations come from Sika's grocery stores. The rest is supplied through the U.S. Commodity Supplemental Food Program. But it's not enough to meet the need in Sika.
Hi guys, how's it going today?
Hey, how are you?
Major Charlene Morrow moves through the dining area as steam rises from bowls on the table. It's lunchtime. She and her husband, Matthew, took over the job in June. In the past year, their data shows that clientele at the soup kitchen has nearly doubled. The pantry can't keep up. So Salvation Army spends $600 a week on groceries to keep the shelves full. Frozen meat is one of the first things to go.
Meat is so expensive and lots of families go without. They'll use canned meat like chicken or tuna in place of meat. So when we get the meat in, we really are excited to give that out.
Morrow echoes what was said at Sika Tribe, that clients aren't just homeless individuals, but families and senior citizens. She worries about the physical toll food insecurity can take.
Stories about people worrying themselves into the hospital. You know, like, I was so worried about paying this bill, I got an ulcer and I ended up going to the hospital.
Is it hard for those families to come to Salvation Army for the first time?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we have a lot of people that, you know, come in tears because they're embarrassed or they're ashamed. As a person that grew up with a single mom that that relied upon food boxes, I know that that embarrassment and that shame is there, but we try to make it so that it's not embarrassing, that it's not shameful.
Like Sika Tribe, Salvation Army does not verify the income of a person seeking help. Their mission is built around the idea that anyone can fall on hard times and that times right now are especially challenging. Maura said, quote, "We don't consider it a handout. We consider it a hand up." Vicki O'Brien serves on the Coast Alaska board. The Salvation Army Kitchen offers free lunch Monday through Friday at 11:30 a.m. Doors open at 10:30 a.m. The food pantry is open Tuesday through Friday from 10:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Tune in next time to The Cost of Living in Sitka. Our next story is about the rocky road of grocery prices. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.